Okay, so I'm going to talk about some work that we did last year. I did a little audit recently of papers I need to write up, and I think it was 11 or 12. So this is one of the 11 or 12 papers I'm meant to be writing this summer. It's going to be slightly broader than just cycling safety, but it will certainly touch upon some safety issues. So I've got to thank Heide Busser, who was the MSc student who actually did a lot of the donkey work. And Adrian Davies, some of you might know, who does a lot of work over in Bristol and the South West on cycling issues. So the starting point for this was an Australian study that was published a few years ago by Russell and colleagues. And they did a comparative analysis of media coverage of cycling, cyclist issues in Sydney and Melbourne over a 10-year period. And they found various interesting things. For example, they found an overall increase in positive coverage over that period, which is quite nice. They found that the negative stories that were in the media tended to be about collisions, which was perhaps unsurprising. Probably, I think, the most interesting thing to come out of their paper was this very clear distinction between cycling and cyclists. And the overall tone of the coverage and the nature of the stories and the language used and the frames were much more positive when you were talking about cycling, but were overwhelmingly negative when talking about cyclists. So they like the activity, they just don't like people who do it. And so that was the starting point. We wanted to do a kind of replication and extension of this. So here's the things that were similar and different. So we decided to work with Bristol, partly because we're based in the southwest, and that was a very logical city for us to work with, but also in particular. We wanted to look at Bristol because of the Cycling City initiative. I don't know if anyone here was involved with Cycling City at all. You might not like this.
I will not take any credit or blame for anything.
So we followed, we did analysis of stories published in 2005 and 2012. So that gives 3 years pre-Cycling City initiative, 2 years of the Cycling City initiative, and then 3 years post-Cycling City initiative. We used Leeds as a comparison because we had the Bristol Post from Bristol, and we looked around for just another local paper that would be a reasonable comparison. We can't possibly say that with the Yorkshire Post that we ended up using is the perfect comparison, but we wanted something with a similar circulation of a similar city from a different part of the country that didn't have the Cycling City initiative. So we chose the Yorkshire Post, actually astonishingly similar circulations between the two papers. As well as replicating what Russell did, we added some specific analyses relating to this issue of everyday cycling. Is local media reporting of cycling facilitating or hindering people's perception of cycling as a suitable everyday mode of transport for normal people? So first of all, we did a very specific analysis of the terms being used, the pronouns effectively being used to describe the people who ride bicycles. Were they in-group pronouns or out-group pronouns? Is it we or they? We coded each story that we found overall, and obviously there's a certain element of subjectivity here, but we had quite clear criteria and inter-rater agreement. Was each story presenting cycling as something normal that normal people could do, or was it somehow presenting cycling as something superhuman that only a special elite can undertake? And similarly, we coded each story's what we called its surface and hidden connotations. So again, there's a certain element of subjectivity here, and we had to establish criteria. But this was a kind of affective sort of valence attributed to each story. So on the surface, if you read it in a literal sense, was it a positive or negative story about cycling? That was the surface connotation. And then what we called the hidden connotation, which might be a bit of a loaded word, it might not be the best term to use, but the hidden connotation was, again, relating to this idea of is cycling a normal activity for normal people? Is it something that you or I could do? What was it actually saying about cycling beneath the surface? Was it actually implying a positive message or actually implying a negative message? The typical sort of example, and this is one of the ones I'm going to come back to, would be Bristol man cycles to South Pole to raise money for charity. which it turns out is an absolute mainstay of local media reporting. So we'd say that we would have coded that as being surface, a very positive story. Yes, cycling is raising money for charity, that's great, that's positive. But the hidden connotation, we'd have coded it as negative, because it's suggesting that cycling is an ordeal, that you have to pay someone to do it, effectively. Now, this is the only thing that actually touches on the Cycling City initiative that I'm going to talk about today, but this is the amount of coverage in the two cities over the period. So, what's curious, in the Yorkshire Post, which is red here, you can see there's actually a steady increase in the amount of cycling coverage, actually perhaps mirroring a little bit what Rachel was just talking about. Yes?
Sorry. There's a wee bit of a confounding thing, the Grenda Park, the Yorkshire part of the tour.
When was that, sorry?
That's this year, but yeah. There's been a kind of upsurge in things.
Yeah. When was that announced?
It was announced about 2 years ago.
Okay, so it might just tickle into this column, because this would be 2009 to 2012. It wouldn't get into those.
Oh, no, it wouldn't. Sorry, no.
Yeah.
You'd be okay.
Yeah, no, you're right. Especially if we'd extended this, that would have been quite important. And if anything, we'd predict that Yorkshire would show an even greater increase in trend. But certainly there's this kind of linear increase in Yorkshire. And I think, perhaps mirroring what Rachel just talked about. But actually, weirdly, in Bristol, they were talking about cycling quite a lot, then got made a cycling city and they stopped talking about it and stayed lower down, which is quite curious. I don't know what to make of that.
Well, what are those bars? Are those total stories?
Yes. Yes, I misread that. Percentage of positive stories, yes. So you're right. Leeds got more and more optimistic about cycling as Bristol became more cynical, which might tell us something quite interesting. In-group and out-group representation is cycling. So, our stories about, when we go to the shops, or is it about when cyclists are blocking our roads? Roughly half of stories, 49% of the stories, made neither distinction. But where there was a pronoun attached, it was overwhelmingly out-group. So the stories had a much greater instance of they do this, they do that, rather than another option that we have, or something we could do this weekend. Similarly, was the tone of the story suggesting that cycling is something that could be done in everyday activity, or were the stories suggesting that cycling is difficult and dangerous and only for the elite? And about three quarters suggested it was not an everyday activity. Three quarters of the stories we coded had the fundamental implication or explicit statement that cycling is not something that a normal person can do as a normal mode of transport. We've had a bit of mention today and yesterday particularly about the framing of news stories, and we looked at that as well. And this is where we get closer to the Rissell study. Bicycling overall was more positive than negative. So about 30% of stories get positive frames about cycling, about its health benefits, about how it's fun, about how it deserves more support from the city, which is great. Where there was negative coverage, it's because it's difficult and risky. So bicycling, if we summarise it all in one sentence, bicycling is healthy but difficult and dangerous. Bicyclists, on the other hand, the coverage flips, it becomes not very positive, much more negative than positive. Cyclists, if we're being nice, they're healthy and keen, although, they're not the greatest accolades I'd wish to have bestowed upon me. Oh, that Ian, he's really keen. even actually some of the words that are used are possibly kind of two-edged swords. The word brave is often used. And that possibly, yes, in a soldier, that's possibly quite a nice thing to say, but in a person just going to the office. But the terms used for bicyclists, though, tend to be much more negative than positive. They're irresponsible, they're lawbreakers, they misbehave, they're dangerous to others. So bicyclists, irresponsible and dangerous, but keen, if we boil it down to a single sentence. In terms about the surface and hidden connotations, this was the final thing I'd talk about. So, on the face of it, and again, if you were, imagine a someone who'd learnt English as a foreign language doing a word-for-word translation of the story, only 8% of them looked negative. So, you know, for example, a negative story might be cyclists are out of control or something like that. So only 8% were of that sort versus around half of them were superficially positive. But that kind of flips over and half of them become what we call hidden negative. In other words, were antithetical to the idea of cycling as a feasible activity for normal people when you looked into them. And the main reason for that was either it was coverage of high-level sport or it was coverage of cycling as a fundraiser, which was such a mainstay of the coverage, both of which we coded. And as I say, this is a very subjective opinion, but we interpreted both of those as pushing a message of cycling as not being an everyday activity. And just to throw this out there, terrible formatting problems. Well, hopefully you can see just about enough of it. It's fallen off the end. This is a quote from Sheldon Brown, the late great bicycle mechanic, talking about cyclothons. And he had this wonderful quote about how, you know, why on earth would you pay someone to cycle? This idea that I'm cycling 20 miles and I want you to give money to a charity in order to recognise this astonishing feat of endurance that I'm undertaking. And I mean, I've experienced this personally. I've done several long bicycle rides. I did the end-to-end last year. And everyone says, oh, you must be doing it for charity. And I said, well, no. You know, you would genuinely, the equivalent would be pay me to lie on a beach for 2 weeks. Because that would be a miserable experience that I'd want recognised with the payments to charity. For me, cycling 800 miles, that's great fun. Why on earth would you pay me? Yet this idea that you have to pay people to cycle and it's an ordeal that must be rewarded and recognised is such a mainstay of local media reporting about cycling. So to summarise, what we found overall was this very ambiguous, mixed picture of how bicycling and bicyclists are presented in the local media in Bristol. The activity is healthy but dangerous, which is an oxymoron right there. The people who do it are a separate issue. So the people who do it are separate from the activity, like Russell found. They are other people, they are outsiders who do this. And they're irresponsible and dangerous, but keen and healthy. And the local media, there's this fundamental division within how they talk about cycling. Superficially, they're very positive about cycling. But it's constantly and routinely implied that this is not a safe, normal, everyday activity. And this is what we'd argue is the kind of message that people are having to accommodate whilst already coming from the perspective of not being terribly interested in cycling or not being terribly supportive of cycling issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ian.